Thanks for coming in, Mr. Mahoney. Do you have your member ID card?
Yep, I have it right here in the FEP Blue app. See?
Great.
It's awesome. The app can also help me find a provider and keep tabs on my deductibles.
Okay, can I...
Oh, yeah, and my out-of-pocket spending and visit limits, and I can call the nurse line.
I'm really glad it does all that, but I only need to see your member ID card.
Oh, that's it? Why didn't you say so?
Fearless is just one tap away. With the new FEP Blue app from Blue Cross and Blue Shield, you can access your health benefits on the go. Download it now at fepblue.org/app.
You are Locked On Lions, your daily podcast on the Detroit Lions, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome in, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Let's plate it on a Wednesday, August 24th, another edition of Locked On Lions, your Lions exclusive podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Matt Derry and you, thanks for joining me on this afternoon into Thursday morning on audioboom.com and also on iTunes. Make sure you subscribe. Please subscribe. You'll get the podcast each and every day. A lot of you hit me up on Twitter today at Derry Speaks. That's D-E-R-Y Speaks, saying you're a listener. We got some people out there listening out of state that have the podcast on their way to work each and every morning. We appreciate that. Thanks for joining us. And of course, check us out on fanragsports.com. As well. All right, I'm going to totally start outside the box today and do something I don't normally do. All right, usually, and our man, the man that started the Locked On Podcast Network, David Locke, sends out a lot of emails coaching up a lot of the podcasters and the guys that are in charge of the Locked On, whether it's NFL teams or the NBA teams. Locked On Pistons, by the way, tune into that with Dan Feldman, and also Locked On Fantasy Football with Vinny Iyer from Sporting News. We had Vinny on the show on 105.1 last year. Good guy and does a great job. So if you're into the fantasy stuff and the fantasy football, check out Vinny Iyer's Locked On Fantasy Football on the Locked On Podcast Network. Anyway, usually David puts out an email like, you know, some coaching up things, tease this, set up that. I'm going outside the box today. I'm doing something totally different. I want to play a little game of what if. What if? Are you ready? Are you prepared? Lions fans, what if Saturday night, Dwayne Washington? What if? What if the Lions? Now, bear in mind, this is the same guy you're listening to that the other day said Amir Abdullah is second most important guy in the Lions offense, because the Lions need him to be a home run hitting, every down running back that can carry the mail, especially on first and second down. We know what Theo Riddick can do, and I don't think he's an every down back. I don't think he's a first down back that you're going to give the ball to 7 yards deep on a dive play. Amir Abdullah, we know, is practicing again, coming back from shoulder surgery. But I read something today on KyleMeinkeMLive.com, and I'm playing the game of what if Dwayne Washington. Lions love what they've seen from Dwayne Washington, and they want to see more. Jim Bob Cooter, Lions offensive coordinator. Quote, "We're going to hand him the ball some more," Cooter said, "and see what he does." Dwayne Washington's getting the rock Saturday night in Baltimore, Chocolate City. He'll be there against the ones and twos of the Ravens to see if he can do it. What if the Lions have... Remember when Cortland Finnegan was like a six-round pick and a really good corner? What if the Lions have unearthed something? What if Saturday night, this speedster seventh-round pick breaks tackles, breaks ankles, and is doing it with the regulars and the first stringers out there? So far, so good in the preseason. He's averaging 4.3 yards per carry. He returned to kickoff 97 yards against the Steelers. Ran for a touchdown last week against the Bengals. But he's been doing the bulk of this against third and fourth stringers. Sounds like, according to Jim Bob Cooter, JBC, Cooter country, It sounds like they're going to want to see him against the regulars. Lions fans, you've been waiting for a back and a real back since Barry Sanders. We know Jahvid Best was probably the best back the Lions have had since Barry, but Jahvid Best had concussion issues and just could never get back on the field, which is really, really sad because there was a lot of potential there. But GM Bob Quinn loves Dwayne Washington's speed, but there's always a caveat with the Lions, isn't there, guys? But what if you're driving to work today? You're in your car. Let's imagine what Saturday night might be if this kid looks really, really good. And all of a sudden, those number 36 jerseys are hot on the presses, hot off the presses in the Roar store or the Roar and More or whatever they call it at Ford Field. Now, they're not going to make Dwayne Washington jerseys, okay? But can we dream? Can it be that Bob Quinn maybe unearthed some hidden gem that had fumble problems in college? Or that sounds familiar. Amir Abdullah, right? Fumbled in the mini camps a little bit, dropped some passes. But maybe, just maybe, the Lions have something here. And let's see him against the ones and twos of the Baltimore Ravens Saturday night. As far as the Ravens run defense and what we're looking at, we will talk in minutes with Nasty Nestor Aparicio. WNST Radio in Baltimore has hosted a sports talk show in Baltimore for over 20 years. He'll update us on the Ravens and what to expect when Dwayne Washington gets the ball against that Baltimore defense on Saturday night. I might be way out of my mind with this one. I might be, you know, crazy. But what if? What if for some odd reason the new Lions GM could do something that the old Lions GM and the old Lions GM before him couldn't do? Pluck some hidden gem at the back of the draft and turn out to be something. You know? What if he's not just the sixth tailback in a six-man backfield, which is what he opened training camp as? What if Dwayne Washington all of a sudden looks so good Saturday night against pretty good players in Baltimore in a dress rehearsal, getting the ball from Matthew Stafford, that the Lions are forced to use him? Gosh, wouldn't that be nice? Now, he could go into Baltimore Saturday night, totally suck, and then, you know, no skin off anybody's nose. He was a seventh-round pick. But just what if? Maybe the Lions have something here. Let's hope they have something. Because as I said on the podcast yesterday, a lot of you have apathy. A lot of you need an excitement stick to, you know, wave around. So maybe Dwayne Washington is that guy. As promised, let's bring him in right now from WNST in Baltimore, one of the legends when it comes to sports talk, especially on the East Coast, the Nasty One, Nestor Aparicio, to talk some Ravens and Lions with me. What's up, Nestor?
Man, it's, you know, I've waited 25 years to get this sort of love in Detroit, you know, legend status and all that. I mean, it is nice after 25 years, you know, you want to put the L word, but at least wait till I'm 50. I mean, I'm 47, but it is nice to hear that from you, especially a guy who's got as many teams to cover as you guys do out in Detroit, man. We only get a couple teams here. It's hard to be legendary when you have a bad baseball team.
Well, I don't know about bad pitching staff, maybe.
Well, we've had bad baseball here for a lot of years. I mean, I probably should say this year things have gotten a little bit hairy and a little bit dicey with Tillman and O'Day right now, and I think everyone's nervous. This was a year where there wasn't a lot of promise for the Orioles, but they're certainly in it. They're going to have to deal with your Tigers. They're going to deal with the Royals. I think the Mariners and the Astros are going to say something about it. And, of course, they're fighting with the Blue Jays and the Red Sox straight to the finish. So, and then we got fake football, too, which I know you know something about.
Well, Nestor, that's where I want to go with this, because the Lions, certainly the third preseason game is the dress rehearsal. This is as close to a regular season game as you can get, I guess. And for Matthew Stafford and the Lions offense going up against a Baltimore defense. But I think a lot of people are probably wondering what the Ravens are. A couple of years ago, fantastic. Last year, bad. What are we going to see?
Well, last year was really marred by the injuries. They lost Suggs right away. Then Smith went down. Then Flacco went down. The secondary wasn't very good to begin with. And they had trouble running the ball once Justin Forsett got injured as well. The success they had 2 years ago, a large part of it was the offensive line was phenomenal, and they ran the ball well behind Justin Forsett. that helped Flacco. It helped a rather pedestrian wide receiving crew. They drafted Perryman last year. They've been trying to get him on the field. And I know you know all about his pop as well out there in Detroit. You know, for the Ravens this year, there are so many questions, which should have made these preseason games maybe more interesting than the fake football they are. Maybe on Saturday we'll feel like we've learned a little something. But you're not going to see Steve Smith out there. You're not going to see Stubbs, Doomerville. You know, Dennis Pitt is nursing a finger injury, trying to get back on the field as well. This has been a very choppy preseason for the Ravens. But the big news, the good news is, number five's healthy. He's been running around. He looks fine. He has not played in a game yet. This will be his first opportunity to go out with the offense. So you Lions fans will get the best look at the Ravens that we've seen this year. I mean, it's really hard to talk about the Ravens through two preseason games when Ryan Mallett and Josh Johnson have been the guys running around out there.
Nestor Aparicio, WNST Radio in Baltimore, with me. You mentioned Joe Flacco a little bit, referencing number five. Is Joe Flacco, in your mind, better than Matthew Stafford?
I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, look at the regular season victories. Look at the postseason. Yeah, I mean, Super Bowl MVP. Aren't they that dissimilar? Yeah, maybe not. And, you know, on any given Sunday, certainly Stafford had his day back in the era of Jimmy Schwartz and, you know, Megatron and a better defense at that point with Sue and Fairley in their prime. You know, Stafford's had a lot of the weapons around him kind of taken away and never really had a running game. Flacco has benefited from a lot of it, including Anquan Boldin in his prime here a number of years ago. Derek Mason before that. I think Flacco's had better weapons around him and therefore has looked better. Of course, Flacco at the beginning of his career had, you know, Ed Reed and Ray Lewis in their prime and Ray Rice in his prime. So Flacco's had a better supporting cast. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The question is, where are these teams now in a crossroads? And certainly both of these franchises in a crossroads. I'm fascinated by how much of the Raven building has made its way out into Detroit. This is really kind of a homecoming for a whole bunch of Super Bowl 47 guys this week.
No, it is. And the reason, I guess, Nestor, I ask about that is because certainly a topic here, and it's been a topic on my podcast since I started it last month or this month, has been Stafford, his development, everything else. There are Stafford fans in Detroit that absolutely love him and think he's great and doesn't have, like you said, the supporting cast that Joe Flacco has ever had. And many fans believe here that are Stafford fans especially that if he's ever had a supporting cast like a Flacco, he would be Joe Flacco and he would wear a ring and he would be in a few Pro Bowls and everything else. And Stafford's been to one. So that's why I ask, because, you know, we're entering year eight of Stafford, and for the other side, they're saying he's just not a winner, and he doesn't do enough to make guys better. That's what I'm wondering about Flacco, because certainly we've seen it. He's had help, but yet there have been other times too, especially in the playoffs, where he's made big, big throws, hasn't he?
Well, yeah, I mean, back shoulder to Bolton to win a Super Bowl. Let's start with that. But you know, as far as Stafford and the players around him and what's happened there, the offensive line. I mean, when you're getting sacked 89 times in a couple of seasons, when you don't have time, when you only have one weapon and he's being double-teamed, and the running game, I mean, name their best running back. I mean, maybe best, you know, maybe at one point Reggie Bush, but certainly if you think running backs at Detroit, you say they haven't had one since Barry Sanders. So I do think that part of that is who's drafting, who's coaching, who's healthy, who's staying in there. I mean, I remember when Schwartz was all hot and bothered about drafting that big tight end in Brandon Pettigrew, believing he was going to be a Hall of Fame tight end at one point as well. I mean, I look at that team now and say there's been huge turnover there. For the Ravens, there's also been huge turnover on the offensive side, but a lot of that has been the O-line that is getting, we think, better with the drafting of Ronnie Stanley. And we used our number one draft pick on him instead of the guy who had the gas mask bong that's down in Miami at this point. But the offensive line, protecting Flacco, protecting his bad knee, we haven't seen any of that yet. We haven't seen Flacco on the field yet. I will say this. Flacco was maligned early in his career as being not a rah-rah guy, not a fiery guy. I don't think anybody confuses the, you know, the Philadelphia guy now with being demure or meek. You've seen him wired up on the sidelines. You know, he's got a lot of Philly in him. He's got a lot of fighter in him. And coming back from this injury, all eyes are on him right now to see if he can come back and be that quarterback, because the one thing he's never done is led them to the Super Bowl without Ray Lewis, without Matt Burke, without Anquan Boldin, without Ed Reed, without Ray Rice, because all of those guys are gone now.
Locked On Lions, a special edition here with Nasty Nestor from Baltimore, talking Lions and Ravens, who, of course, will duel on Saturday night. You mentioned Anquan Boldin. Here, still gas left in the tank, and he's a lock to make the Lions. How much is there left, and what would he mean to this locker room?
Well, Steve Smith is our version of that coming back, right? And, he came over here a couple of years ago to win. He had a double Achilles. He's back out there running around to win. It's not about money for Steve Smith. And I would think for Anquan Boldin, I don't think he signed to Detroit thinking, well, how do we get to six wins? I don't think that would be his M.O. there at all. And I know they brought Marvin Jones over as well, which we're very appreciative that he's now out of our division in Cincinnati as well. These aged receivers, Derek Mason was one of those guys that hung around here for a long period of time. Obviously, Calvin Johnson cut out early, leaving you guys with a gaping hole. I mean, the thought there, he might have 3 to 5 years of football left in him. He didn't want to do it. These veteran guys want to do it. And, for Mike Wallace, who's now been, summoned in here from two failed experiments in Miami, and I know you guys saw him in Minnesota as well, they have veteran guys here that they've brought in to try to throw the football around and stretch the field a little bit.
What is it like to be in a city, and of course you won a Super Bowl, and Lion fans are just starving for a playoff win, but Nestor, what's it like to have that stability at the top, where you've got Ozzie Newsome running the show and has run it for many, many years, even dating back to the Uncle Artie days, and that's another story for another day, my thoughts on Art Modell being a Clevelander. But Ozzie's done a whale of a job, and then John Harbaugh. For Lions fans, we're waiting to see, because I don't think many feel Jim Caldwell is going to be back next year, but the Bob Quinn and then whomever era, what's it like to have that in Baltimore?
Well, we know who's responsible, right? I mean, we always know where the draft picks are coming from, where, like, in Cleveland, they wind up with a knucklehead drunk drug addict as a quarterback, and no one on the football side ever checked off on it, right? I mean, the owner just came in and said, we want Johnny Manziel. That crap doesn't happen around here. And Ozzie has had good drafts. Ozzie's had bad drafts. Ozzie has had more bad drafts than good drafts lately, which is how you get to 5-11. And then on top of that, when you have Suggs and Smith and Flacco and these guys that are at least in the Hall of Very Good and Pro Bowl caliber guys go down, you wonder, well, who's next man up? And you know, I'll give you a list of names here, and you're going to say, who? Matt Elam, Arthur Brown, Rashad Perryman, Sergio Kindle. You know, these are all names of drafted guys. Terrence Brooks. All of these guys were drafted, high draft picks, that have not made an impact on the field. And at some point, that has to happen. And that buck does stop with Ozzie. It does stop on his desk. And he has been criticized. The team was 5-11. And so was John Harbaugh 5-11. So was Joe Flacco. They weren't very good when he played last year. So if this thing were to get wrong quickly here, you would be, for the first time ever really, talking about upheaval here. We haven't talked about firing Brian Billick. He just got fired. I mean, matter of fact, he had 4 years left on his deal, and the team was 13-3 the year before. So we didn't sit around here holding a vigil the way we have for many Oriole general managers and managers that have gone through this. I mean, Bisciotti has been a pretty loyal guy. Ozzie's been around. There's never been any conjecture that he or Eric DaCosta would ever be in trouble. But they haven't put back-to-back 5-11s up. So that would be a big problem this year if they don't bounce back and be 4-4 at the turn or 5-3. If they're, if they're 2-6 or 3-6 and playing that way the way they did last year, we would have some problems here come November and December. I don't anticipate that. I think the schedule's easier this year. I would always give Ozzie Newsome the benefit of the doubt, as I would John Harbaugh, as I will Joe Flacco and Steve Smith and Terrell Suggs and all of these guys that have done this for a very, very long time, and they're out there running around right now. But this would be the year, if things were to go wrong and they're a woefully not a playoff team, the questions then would come to Ozzie Newsome's desk. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Nestor Aparicio with me, WNST in Baltimore. Final thing for me, I talked earlier today on the podcast about Dwayne Washington. You're probably like, who? Seventh round pick for the Lions, a running back that has a lot of speed. You mentioned before, and you're dead on about it, who's run the football in this town successfully since number 20 hung him up. The Lions and Jim Bob Cooter said today, the offensive coordinator, that Washington's going to get some carries and they're going to hand him the football and see what he can do against the ones and twos. How good is the Baltimore ones and twos run defense?
Well, it probably depends on who's on the field, right? I mean, we haven't seen Dumervil on the field yet. We have not seen Suggs on the field yet. So if you're asking about run defense, it all fell apart when Suggs was hurt in the first series of the season last year. Matter of fact, it went even to Steve Bisciotti, the owner, who sits with the media, every year in January, win or lose, unlike the coward that runs the baseball team here, and he answers the questions. And he, went into great length about the loss of Stuggs and what that did to the deterioration of run stopping for this team last year, and Doomerville being a three-down player instead of a two-down player, and playing a run instead of playing the pass. Zach Orr, C.J. Mosley stepping up this year. They've drafted Za'Darius Smith in the draft last year to chase the quarterback. They have other guys, including a kid named Bronson Confucci that they lost during a training camp to an injury, a kid named Brett Urban, who's coming back, who hasn't been able to get on the field, Cabron Lewis Moore, another guy, a draft pick that hasn't really got on the field. So you're going to see a huge rotation of run stop here from the Ravens in the first half. But I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of Suggs and Doomerville, and those are the guys that kind of the Ravens are counting on 2 weeks from now to be the real guys against the Bills.
Nestor, great catching up, man, and have fun Saturday.
Great being on your podcast. I appreciate you coming on WNSD, and I'm glad things are working out all right for you out there, Matt. Great having you on, man.
All right, thanks to Nasty Nestor Aparicio from WNST in Baltimore for a couple of minutes here on Locked On Lions. We'll do it again tomorrow here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Matt Derry saying, see ya. Stay dry.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get two free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get two free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch two lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.